We're going to be looking at verses 5 through 9 this morning. It's always great when you have the opportunity to preach about sin. Everyone gets really excited about this sermon. So we'll be talking about sin and forgiveness and just who God is in the midst of all of that. Listen to these words from 1 John. This is the message we have heard from him and declared to you: God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, and yet we walk in the darkness, we lie and we do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Now, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your abundant grace and peace in this world. We are always blessed to walk with you, learn from you, grow in your likeness. May we listen attentively to your word and your voice in the midst of the trappings of this world. May we see your light as the brightest light, and may we learn to shed the shadow of ourselves and step into your marvelous light of your Son, Jesus the Christ. For we pray this in his holy name. Amen. Now, many of you might know this, and some of you might not know this, but I like the dark. I like sitting in the dark. It's soothing to me. I like sitting in my office in the dark. A lot of times when people walk into the office and they see the lights off, they don't think that I'm there. But I'm probably there. I love sitting in the darkness. No lights, not even a lamp to kind of illuminate the room. I love it when it rains. It's my favorite kind of weather, is rain and cloudy. I know, that's horrible, isn't it? I like it much more than when it's sunny and bright outside. The sun, I could, you know, that could go away. I could just overcast and rainy. But for some reason, this has always been the way it's been with me. I just tend to like the dark better than the light. Now, of course, I can sit here and speak of a metaphor of darkness and light. I can sit here and tell you that I like the darkness better than the light in my spiritual life as well, right? I mean, I think all of us do at some level. We call the darkness in life sin, and we all do it, and we have a predisposition for it because we keep going back to the darkness now, don't we? We like the darkness, and we struggle with the light. This is what was just read in the scripture. Now, before we dive headlong into this message, I'm compelled to share some basic information about this book in hopes that we may become a little bit more biblically literate as to what we're going to be discussing this morning. So here are some 1 John basics, okay? The author is John, the son of Zebedee, the apostle and author of the Gospel of John and the book of Revelation. He was a fisherman, one of Jesus' inner circles, together with James and Peter. He was extremely humble when he said that he was the disciple whom Jesus loved the most. I mean, yes, that's he himself calling him the favorite disciple. He may have been the first cousin of Jesus. Now, unlike most New Testament letters, 1 John doesn't actually tell us who the author is. See, in a lot of letters, it'll reveal the author, but not here. And the earliest identification of him comes from the church fathers, all of them, Irenaeus, Clement of Alexandria, Tertullian, Origen, all of them designated this as the Apostle John who wrote this book. And as far as we know, no one else has suggested. Now, I can go into more detail about the literary language that was used in 1 John and how it's similar to the Gospels. Suffice to say, we believe that John wrote this book. Now, the book was written shortly after the Gospel of John, between about 85 and 95. It was a letter written to believers. While John's letter does not say where they lived, we believe that he was writing to those around Ephesus and the church and possibly in some Asia congregations. But the overall theme of 1 John is this: to recall the fundamentals of their faith, or back to the basics of Christianity. The apostle deals with certainties, not opinions or conjecture. He expresses the absolute character of Christianity in very simple terms, terms that are clear and unmistakable, leaving no doubt as to the fundamental nature of these truths. Now, it's warm, and it's a conversational book, and a loving tone occurs like a father having a tender, intimate conversation with their children. First John is pastoral,
written from the heart of a pastor with concerns for his people. As a shepherd, John communicated to his flock some very basic, vitally essential principles, reassuring them of the core of their faith, the very core of who Jesus was, and a desire to seek the foundation of who we are and how we are to live. That is what this book is about. So let's engage this text. Well, before we get there, a little story. After dying, three friends, Robert, Sam, and Tim, wake up outside of heaven. St. Peter prays, says before they can enter, they have to pass through this bog. And all those who pass through sink in proportion to the amount of undisclosed sins they had when they had passed away. And Robert starts out and he immediately begins to sink. And he struggles onward and finally pushes to the opposite side. And as the mud reaches his neck, and he looks back and he sees his friend Sam walking across, shoes barely touching the muck and the mire. "I can't believe it. I never would have thought you were so holy," Sam replies. "Oh no, I'm just standing on Tim's shoulders." Christians are sometimes guilty of letting what seem like little sins go unconfessed and undealt with. John dealt with some of the same attitudes during his time. He begins his letter in 1 John by dealing with the importance of confessing sins and seriously dealing with our sinful nature. So listen to the scripture again. "This is the message that I've heard, that you've heard, and now I proclaim to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. And if we say we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. But if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Now, in this scripture, John sets up a few things for us to consider as he reminds us of some of the groundwork of our faith. We see that John lays out conditions upon which we have a close fellowship with God. If we are to commune with God, what is the basis of this fellowship? That God is light, and that in him there is no darkness at all. I mean, this is a very straightforward understanding of faith that we're to have. John describes the basis of fellowship in two ways, positively and negatively. Positively, he says that God is light. Notice the Bible does not say God has a light or God is like a light. The Bible said God is light. That is the way the Holy Spirit prompted John to describe God. We talk about having light. You know, we say, you know, "I used to do so-and-so, but I saw the light, and now I don't do it anymore," don't we? Paul talks about in the book of Ephesians about having eyes of a heart illuminated or enlightened, that you may even know the cartoonist describes light as kind of the light bulb that goes over your head. To say that God is light means there is nothing that God does not know about me or about anything else. Morally, it speaks of the holiness of God. Now, if you wanted to have one word to describe God, it would be holy. He says that I be holy for I am holy. God is absolutely holy. And John said God is light, and that's positive. There's nothing evil or bad or short-sighted or questionable or otherwise uncertain about God's holiness. His nature is majesty and splendor. It is God's essential nature to reveal himself, his moral perfection, his purity, and his holiness. He is not affected by sin, nor does he ever sin. There's no room for improvement in God. He isn't like we are. He doesn't have limits like we do. He doesn't make decisions without knowledge. He's always right, always true. God is not influenced by or manipulated by sin. He can't be manipulated by us or the devil. God's essence is light. You got it? What is God? Light. Okay, very. You all are on it this morning. And that's the positive part. But now he moves over into the negative. In him, there is no darkness at all. Now, in the Greek, it's a double negative here, which is there is no, not any, none, not a shred of darkness in God at all. The basis of fellowship is light. God is light, and in him, there is no darkness at all. And if we are to have fellowship with God, we must walk in the light. We must walk in the light because God is light. And this is why the psalmist says in Psalm 119, your word is a lamp unto my feet, right, and a light unto my path. Everything that comes from God is light. It's pure and it's holy. Everything that comes from God. Now let me tell you something this morning that you might already know. The Bible talks about two relationships with God. One being children of God, and the other one being in fellowship with God. Now, a lot of people here get confused right away. We see, well, I'm a child of God, but if I sin, then I'm lost again, and I've got to be saved all over because my fellowship with God is broken. Now, fellowship can be broken. At times, actually, more often than not, when I disobeyed my earthly dad, fellowship was broken. Now, I was still his son. I was still his child. But the fellowship had been broken, and that fellowship needed to be restored so that I could fully enjoy that relationship with my earthly father. There are a lot of times, as a matter of fact, that I did not enjoy that relationship because that fellowship had been broken, and I, most of the time, was the one who broke that. Well, it's the same way with God. He wants us to be obedient to him. And when that fellowship is broken, he's going to bring us back into line by holding us accountable that we would not go on and experience the fullness of the relationship with God unless we are brought back into alignment with him. In verse 6, John is sharing that it is possible to break that fellowship. Notice that he says, if we say we have fellowship. I mean, there's a lot of people who say they have fellowship with God, but don't, because of the actions, say otherwise. If I should say to you, all right, friends, let's have a show of hands. How many of you are in fellowship with God? You must probably just pop your hand right up and say, oh, yes, yes, we definitely have fellowship with God. When you say you're in fellowship with God, it means that you have something in common with God. It means you're interested in the same things that God is interested in. It means you're walking in the same direction that God is walking. And there are some who profess to have fellowship with God, but they don't because they're walking in darkness. And if you're walking in darkness right now, you are not in fellowship with God. If we say we have fellowship, the scripture says, we walk in darkness. It's one thing to say, it's another thing to do it. And if we're walking in darkness and we claim to have fellowship with God, what does the scripture say? You're lying. He who walks in the light has a close relationship with God. You can tell that because their walk matches their talk. Their life is full of light. Those who walk in the darkness may claim to have a relationship with God, but their lifestyle doesn't match their claims. They may play church, but they're fooling everyone. But they don't fool God because they're walking in darkness. A person who's walking in the light is very real, very transparent. They have nothing to hide, nothing to be ashamed of. They are close to God, and that's what matters. The one who walks in the darkness is living a lie and will do everything they possibly can to keep that a secret. They work hard to keep up the image of holiness and keep God and others away from them so that the light doesn't penetrate even the darkest spots of their own life. And so a penetrating question this morning, one that I asked myself this week and had to really wrestle with, are you walking in the light? Or are you walking in the darkness and just saying that you're walking in the light? Are you saying that you are in fellowship with God, yet you're not living a life that honors God? No, these are difficult questions, because many times, if we're honest, we'll need to answer that more times often than not, we have fallen out of fellowship with God. Every time we sin and we don't ask forgiveness, we fall out of fellowship with God. And John makes it pretty clear what we're to do and not do here. If we sin, we live in darkness, and we cannot pretend that everything is okay and we live in the light. Now, I can give a litany of all the things we tend to do as a sin, and I'm sure you all can as well. What we need to understand here is that we do have a fallen nature. We do things that have us live in darkness, and that's difficult to understand at times, isn't it? But there is hope. Verse 6 talks about what happens when we live in darkness, but say we live in the light. It says we lie. However, verse 7 goes on to share what actually happens when we walk in the light. It says this, walking in the light is just another term for walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's to have all our sins confessed and living a Spirit-controlled life, surrendering to God in all things. John says the blessing of that is that we have fellowship with one another. The communion of the saints to walk with God and fellowship with his people, surrendering to God, following God's lead, submitting to God's authority, understanding God's holiness. When we walk in the light, when we live in the light, when we embrace who God is, we connect with others who desire to do the same. And when we do, we follow a loving, grace-filled God together. We live transparent and honest lives. We live lives of holiness when we live in God's life. Now, there will always be times when some darkness is in our lives. We are humans, we will falter, and we will fail. However, with God as the light bringer, we will have full fellowship with him and others. And the wonderful part is not that we'll just have fellowship with others, but the fact of that second part of the verse. When we live in the light as God is in the light, we will have fellowship with one another, but also, and more important, that we will come to the realization that it's nothing that we have done to have this fellowship. Rather, the blood of Christ Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. The tense of the verb here in this verse is that it keeps on cleansing us. The word means that it's an action that has begun and has passed in the past and has present and future results. The blood of Jesus Christ never loses power. Christ actually wants us to live a new life and fresh life every single day. The problem is that thousands of people today are into this bootstrap religion, trying to do it themselves after much prayer, many devotionals, and holy living. They always fail, and that'll always be the case. What triumph there is, what relief it would be if we would just be able to loosen those straps and take what is already ours in Christ Jesus. Then prayer becomes a delight, and Bible study a joy, and holy living a natural consequence. What we have become in the process is something highly contagious when we surrender to God and allow his light to shine in us. Wherever we go, almost without trying, we kindle little fires of God in the souls of others. We are refining our Christian maturity through our obedience to God. It is time for us to be devoted to the mission of the gospel of Jesus the Christ. It is time for us to say, we're not going to play Sunday anymore. It's time for us to say, I'm not just going to come Sunday morning and then live like we were never there for the rest of the week. It's time for us to say, Abba, Father, and cry out deeply for our Heavenly Father, crying out so deep that we humble every single morsel of our soul to his will. It's about time that we weed the impurities out in our lives. A lot of us have those impurities, including me, and when left unrefined, they will impede our progress to the road of spiritual maturity. Whether it's something as simple as passing somebody deliberately and not speaking to them, or something more complicated as an addiction, they all need to be dealt with in order to grow in Christ together. There are too many things out there that get us into trouble. 1 Corinthians 10:23 says this, everything is permissible. It's an interesting thing. Everything is permissible, not everything is acceptable. Everything is permissible, not everything is beneficial. Nobody should seek his own good, but the good of others. Everything we do in this world is permissible. Our sins, our impurity, our hurts, our habits are not. Not in God's eyes. We have to weed them out, and through the testing fire of God's word, he refines them for our benefit. We cannot do it ourselves, and that's the problem. The world tells us that we're okay. Just go to church, eat lunch, and go home, and you're good to go. You're done growing. The world loves that. We need to take sin seriously. We are not to play at sin or take it lightly. We need to confess sin. Sin brings reconciliation to our lives. We are not to deny it. Look at verse 9. And this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible because it just brings about a tremendous amount of joy. If we confess our sins, it says, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That word cleanses there again. It's katharzai, okay, which implies something in the present tense and has a continual process. When we repent, when we ask for forgiveness, it's not a one-time and done thing. We are to continually ask for forgiveness, and the wonderful power of Jesus and the grace of God forgives us over and over, time and time again. We are cleansed not by anything we can do, but because of what Jesus did on the cross. God cleanses us now, and He continues to cleanse us as we live in the light, walk in the light. So when we walk in the light, we live it, we breathe it, and we speak it. The gospel is free as the air you breathe right now. You don't pay for breathing, at least not yet. You don't pay for seeing sunlight. The gospel of Jesus is free. Nothing needs to be done to receive it. You have a free pardon. Jesus is willing this morning and is willing to blot out every sin, cleanse every iniquity that you have, every soul present, because God wants to extend His grace and mercy to you. God doesn't make you His child today and then turn you away tomorrow. He doesn't forgive you today and then punish you the next day. When you put yourselves in the hands of Christ, you have a sure keeper. Yes, there may become temptations and strong affections or afflictions, and there may become strong pains and hard duties, but God is the one who helps us bear through this and makes us more than conquerors too. In the name of Jesus, our Savior and Lord, now the process begins. You thought we've been doing this process all year long. No, it starts today. You have a sure investment. We emerge from the process pure and holy and beautiful vessels of the Spirit when we surrender to Christ, when we surrender to God and allow the Spirit to come inside and flow through us so that that light may be the brightest light in this world. Listen to that scripture again. This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in Him there is no darkness at all. And if we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in the darkness, we lie and we don't practice the truth, is what it says. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus' Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we confess our sins, God is faithful to forgive us and cleanse us. When we are cleansed, we live in the light. And when we live in the light, we live in fellowship with one another and with God. And here is the catch point for me today. And this is one of the most difficult things for me to keep reminding myself of. Jesus goes to the cross every time that I sin. And every time that I ask for forgiveness, He grants it to me. Can you let that sink in this morning? Jesus, so long ago, was willing to die for our sins, to take the weight of the world upon Himself and be the Lamb of God. And that in and of itself is amazing. But what makes it even more amazing is that He's willing to do it again today, and tomorrow, and next week, and next month, and next year, because He loves me so much. Because He loves you so much. Friends, this is what living in the light is like. This is about what living in grace is like. It's not about condemnation. It's about grace over and over and over again. We are a good news church, friends, because of Jesus. May God be praised. May we live like He has called us to live. And brothers and sisters in Christ, may we glorify Him in all that we say and all that we do, bringing light into this world so that others may experience the transformative power of Jesus. Let's pray. Holy and gracious God, we thank You for this morning. an opportunity as we continue our series on an Acts prayer of adoration and confession and thanksgiving and supplication. And God, last week we experienced what it's like just to praise you for who you are. And today, Lord God, we come to you surrendering ourselves to you. We desire to walk in the light as you are light, Lord God. And so may we surrender to your perfect and holy will. May we confess all of those things that are on our heart, Lord God, so that we may have full fellowship with you and understand the fullness of your grace and your love. For we pray all of this in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.